Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. Today, Rob and I are speaking with Zach Spencer, my business coach. Zach's actually been on the pod before, though. I think it was back in October, but he's returning today, and we're talking about channeling your self-belief, which I think is super important for anyone, but especially if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to make it out there. So, Zach, thank you for making the time, man. Excited, as usual.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me back. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so a quick little intro again for you. Let's tell the listeners, for those of you that don't know Zach, what you're all about, where you came from, where you are.
Yeah, so if you guys have seen the first podcast, you already know I'm an online fitness entrepreneur. I run Team ZS, which is a fitness coaching agency, and I also do one-on-one business consulting, and that's actually how I came into Bryce's world to help him in his entrepreneurial journey. How far back do you want me to go?
Whatever you want to share, man. Whatever you think is relevant to the story.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my whole career started in fitness. We'll start with the fitness stuff. My career started in fitness. Back in 2013, I got my first job at a gym fresh out of high school because arguably I spent more time in the gym than on my studies in high school, so much so that even my PA was like, Zach, why are you spending so much time in the gym? This is never going to get you anywhere in life, but joke's on her. I took that seriously. I got a gym membership I got my job at the gym to cover my fees for my gym membership, and that's kind of how it all started, and then got into membership sales from there, and then in 2016, 2017, around there, transitioned into personal training and absolutely fell in love with that. And I worked in the commercial gym space up until the pandemic, 2020. Obviously, all the gyms shut down, and that kind of led to, you know, it was a bit of a fork in the road. It's like, I can either do what my friends are doing, which is smoke weed all day and play Warzone, or I can actually do something here and start to use this as like a transitional period. And there was a lot of urgency in my life to be able to pay for my bills, you know, the uncertainty in making money, not knowing when the gyms were going to open up. It's like I was pushed to do something, right? And that's where I transitioned into the private fitness space as still a one-on-one personal trainer, where I set up like a little, I guess you'd call it a home gym. It was in my mom's garage at the time. And also started in the online realm. I'd seen people, you know, crushing it in the online realm a few years prior, but never really believed in it. Always told myself, you know, certain things about it, like, oh, like these people going online, like they could never make it in like the one-on-one like personal training space. That's why they transitioned to online. Like, they can't possibly have successful businesses. They can't be churning out results for their clients. They must be scamming people for like low ticket products that don't actually do anything. They don't care about the client. You know, just all these like these beliefs that just weren't true, which I then soon realized when I actually started building my thing out in the online realm. I was like, okay, well, if I have these beliefs to the online thing, but now I'm being pushed to go online because the gyms are shut down, like what can I, you know, make true about the way that I approach this in order to put results at like the forefront and overcome these like beliefs that I have about the online space, right? So I was like, well, we can build out a system that is so much more in depth than even what I do as a one-on-one personal trainer, because working for a corporate gym, it's like we did the training, we talked lifestyle, but that's about it. There was no real like checks or balances to client progress, nutrition, whatever. I remember even people at my gym telling me, oh yeah, like you can't do any sort of nutrition programming for anybody, whatever it was. I don't know if it was like the liability issue there, but obviously it's not true. You could definitely help people with nutrition, set macros, do that type of guidance as high level coaches do. Built out an offer focusing on all those lifestyle habits. We call them the shreds specifically, which is like sleep, hunger, recovery, energy, digestion, stress management. It's one of the five pillars of our coaching service we built out. Started to get people in, charged like next to nothing for it at the beginning because I didn't know what I was doing, but started to turn out some really good results with a few select people that were like really bought in. And that led to me actually meeting a bunch of really awesome people that I then started to bring into the brand and gave me the opportunity to actually mentor the first coach that kind of presented the opportunity to me. She was like fresh out of school for finance, was a super adherent client, like followed everything like to a T, super coachable. We communicated well, and she was like, hey, Zach, this is Coach Anna, by the way, if anyone follows my brand. She's way more followers than me, so she's way more famous than I am now. But she reached out and she's like, hey, like, I want to do what you do. And I was like, oh, like personal training online? She's like, no, like the online thing. And I was like, okay, like, well, I was like, how did I get into it? I was like, well, do these courses. I'm like, do these things first, learn like the base knowledge that you need. I think I sent her some like basic ones that I had done, like CanFit Pro, Darby Training Systems. Like, I can't remember exactly what they were, some BioLane courses. And like within like a month, she's like, oh, done all that. I was like, okay. I was like, who can teach her how to be an online coach? I was like, well, I might be able to. Because I, at that time as well, had gotten a mentor and seen the impact of mentorship. And I was like, well, you know what? Let me try this. And like 15 months later, she was making consistent like 5 figures per month as an online fitness coach. And I was like, okay, this is pretty crazy. And she was like impacting like 30 to 35 clients' lives that I wouldn't have been able to impact, you know, utilizing the systems of Team ZS. And then it just kind of grew from there. And now it's like the main thing that I do is help other online fitness entrepreneurs with their businesses, the, you know, the mindset, like the personal beliefs that they need. And obviously the tangible stuff like marketing, sales, systems, automations, the business model itself. That is my current obsession for sure. So
that decision you made, man, to over COVID there when the gym shut down was the right decision.
It was a butterfly moment, man. I mean, there's a lot of like moments I can go back to in the past that were like a butterfly moment that led to so much more, but that was probably the biggest game changer. And I honestly don't know if it would have happened if it wasn't for the pandemic creating this like pain line in a sense of like no gyms, nowhere to train, clients not comfortable coming in to see me even in the home gym, like stuff like that, right?
Yeah, man. I've talked to many a coach now that's the when we made the decision, myself included. I was doing the commercial thing as well until that point, and that was the big step back. What's the next step? Contacted someone that was doing it private, and I haven't really looked back since. So yeah. I share that exact same experience with you for sure.
Yeah. Could be huge. I think it was really big for a lot of people, right? But that's the thing that I've noticed is sometimes there needs to be like the pain of staying the same has to outweigh the pain of change.
Oh yeah.
Otherwise, like it has to be that dirty energy at the beginning for a lot of people to take action, because if you don't believe in yourself and the desire is not there, it's like, what's actually going to get you to take action consistently if that isn't powerful enough? It's usually the opposite. It's the stick, right? We have the carrot and the stick. It's the stick that usually gets people to get going.
Yeah,
but I'm sure as we'll talk about it today, there also eventually has to be the creation of this like desire, the carrot. So you're not always just like relying on pain to keep pushing you forward.
Yeah. And that for the majority of us, that pain is the one that's like, well, you hear people whether it's in the mental health world or the addiction world say, you know, that it was my rock bottom that they got me better. And that comes from a place like nothing motivates more than, you know, a breakup, pain like that, right? Like it's incredible what you can get done. Now, in that journey, once that decision was made and, you know, this momentum was created, what were the ups and downs like?
Oh man, it was a roller coaster. Like, hopefully the Good Life Manager doesn't watch this. So when
I had a feeling you were talking Good Life.
Yeah. I got an email. I think it was like the day before the gym shut down or the night before they shut down. So they were going to announce it to like the public on the Monday morning. I was there at like 8 p.m. on a Sunday right before closing. Email was sent out, found out they weren't opening the next day. So my initial thought was like a thought of selfishness of like, where am I going to train? Like, where am I going to work out? Because it was so important for my mental health. Like, I think at that point in my journey, it wasn't just about like continuing to grow my physique and bodybuild, but rather like, I need this to feel like my best self and to not go crazy. Because of the other stressors of life that were happening at that time, which we can, you know, get into a little bit later in this podcast if we want to. But so what I did is I grabbed a set of 45s, a set of 25s, I think maybe some 35s, some 10s, some 5s, some 2.5s. The cleaners, I was really good friends with the cleaners at Good Life. They're like, oh, there's this old barbell in the back. Like, we were going to throw it away. Like, it's fine. It's just the collars are loose. We can't fix it. Like, you can take that too. So I took that. I think I grabbed a TRX, some bands, and I threw it in the car, brought it over to my mom's place. And I was like, okay, this is going to be my setup because I don't know how long the gyms are going to be closed for. And then the next day I went out and dropped actually quite a bit of cash at Fitness Depot, got there first thing in the morning before the prices like were shot up because of the reaction to like all the gyms shutting down, but still dropped that money. And I was like, okay, I'm going to set this up. Initially it was just for me, but you know, decided to drop the money. Cause I was like, hey, maybe some people want to come in here and train with me. Set the gym up, got some years for my friend, whatever. Got it all going. Took like probably 2 solid days to get everything. And then, you know, sat down, started to send out some messages to people. And it was just crickets, right? Because this is like early on in the pandemic. you're seeing videos of people dropping dead in the streets, like bleeding out of their face, like, I don't know, the propaganda videos or whatever was going on at that time, the crazy stuff that you saw, everyone saw on social media at that time. And I just remember that moment of being like, what did I just do? Did I just waste all this money for nothing? Like, how am I going to cover my bills? And like sitting on the floor, like in my gym and just like crying. Like, because I was just like, what's going to happen? I have no idea. And just that uncertainty that it was just, I mean, there's always uncertainty like in life, like saying like that we're going to predict anything, I think is a form of delusion because we have no idea what's going to happen. Even like end of the day today, by end of the day, it's like every day is so different and unique and lots of stuff happens. But I really felt it there, just like that lack of certainty in what I was doing and just not knowing if it was going to work out was terrifying. But once I like kind of sat in that feeling of like, oh my God, like, did I just make the biggest mistake? I reframed my mindset and I was like, you know what? Instead of looking at this as like something bad, it's like, I put myself in a position where this has to work. And let's focus on like doing whatever we need to do, sending out those follow-ups, talking to people, connecting with people. People will want to come. Just got to keep going forward and like focus on the thing that I really, really wanted to have happen. And just make sure every single day I try to do something that move that needle forward, right? Which helps. So it's like, that's again, like the ups and the downs of entrepreneurship, I find they're self-created in a sense, because I truly believe like, you know, we create our own suffering, just like we can create our own happiness. A lot of the times it's just what you choose to focus on and how you frame certain things in your mind, because like, again, your own reality is just your perception of what you choose to focus on. And I've been using this example recently in like my business coaching meetings too, when, you know, I come to a meeting and I'm like, tell me your wins. And someone's like, I have no wins. I have no wins this week. And I'm like, I don't believe that. Yeah. That's like me saying like, you know, I can sit here in this room of where I'm at right now. Like, I'm in my mom's basement. We just got back from traveling the States for 3 months. We don't get to move into a new place till April 1st. And I'm sitting down here in the basement, all my stuff's in boxes next to me. I can choose to focus on like what I don't like about this space and what annoys me about this space. And that can like determine my perception of like where I am and how I feel. But that also means that I can look around and choose the things that I like, the things that I enjoy about being here, having a, like a roof over my head, not like working out of my camper in Joshua Tree, getting like dirt blown in my face, my laptop falling off the trailer onto the rocks below, like all that type of stuff. And be like, you know what? This is great. Right. And that's the same thing with like those highs and lows of entrepreneurship. It's like anytime you're in a low, a lot of times it just takes a little reframe. And that's enough to kind of get your mind like rallying, like back up and feeling better. And that's going to usually lead to you like producing whatever you need to produce with better energy, more vigor, more persistence, and a, like a higher state of belief.
Man, that's a profound, profound piece there. And I have to say, I sat down just like you explained, and I had a very similar moment to that. And I can answer for myself, but for you, just to follow up, what that when you're down, right, you're down there, you're crying, and that's a vulnerable thing to share, that's very strong. Was there a light bulb moment, or was it just little wins that led to from that lower spot to starting to build those wins? Was there a switch? And this is something I ask almost everybody too, because I find it fascinating. What was that last little bit? What was the first little bit of momentum that was built? Or was it just, okay, well, I can't get any worse than this, or I can't feel any worse than this, so the only place to go is up?
Yeah, is the point of like, I mean, that's a tough question. Because I almost want to say like I was at like a proverbial rock bottom, I felt, where I had like nothing to lose by like going into this thing. But at the same time, I had everything to lose in a sense, because another thing about me is that I found out I was going to be a dad at 20 years old, with someone that I did not see a future with at the time, nor had like plans to have a future with at that time, which is like an earth shattering event for a 20-year-old who's just like out to have fun and have a good time. And I'm responsible for a human being.
Yeah.
Right. It's not just myself. I'm responsible for a human being. So when 2020 hit, I was like, well, I still got to pay my support. I got to pay my bills. I got to, you know, put money aside for that. I have to be able to cover my rent, gas, insurance. I have my amazing partner, Zoe. Like, I got to be strong for her. So for me, it was always about making it almost about other people, and how like me showing up is necessary for me to like be able to serve these people at the degree that I want to be able to serve them. Because one thing because I have let myself down in certain ways, like in the past, and been okay with it. And I think a lot of people that happens to them, right? It's like if they set a goal for themselves and they fail, well, it's okay, you know, it's fine. But when they tell someone else they're going to do something or show up for somebody else, at least in my case, there's always been a certain urgency of not wanting to like let those people down.
Yeah.
So I did feel this like sense of responsibility to keep going. And I think that's, even though I didn't know it was going to be successful and I didn't necessarily have that belief yet that it would be, I knew that I had no other option but to keep going. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
And then I think what really helped build momentum was stacking small wins, like over time, and starting to build like an undeniable amount of proof that I can do these things. I can do hard stuff. I can overcome things and I can still like get wins, because at every single level of success, like, it doesn't matter if you're making $1,000 a month or you're making $50,000 a month, there's going to be moments where the universe almost tests you to see how bad you want it, to either keep going or get to the next level. And it kind of feels the same at every single level, is what I've noticed, which is really, really interesting. So being able to have those, like those stacks of wins to be able to look back at, to be grateful for, to remind yourself of who you are and the things that you've accomplished and whatever that might be, right? Like, you know, now in regards to like, you know, sales or marketing or client gains, like I can obviously look back on that proof. But if you don't have those yet as like a business owner, you gotta look back at other aspects of your life that have like crossover. Like, what other hard things have you done? What other times in your life have you shown up in the face of adversity, chose to lean into something where, you know, you had every opportunity to quit, but you decided to keep going anyways and it worked out?
Yeah.
And I think being able to reflect on that and whatever that might look like at every single step of the journey is so important for just continuing to go, because every single time in my life I've hit that like proverbial, like that new version of rock bottom. Obviously every like bottom feels the same, even though it's like, if you look at the grand scheme of things, it's like bottom in 2020 was like here versus like a bottom, or what it feels like in 2025 is obviously like up here in comparison to like progress and like towards the goals that I want, but it feels very similar. Right.
And you can be smarter about it too, and be like, you know, and this is a point I've got to where when that shows up, I think, oh, here we go. Now, yeah, this is uncomfortable feelings. It's all it is feelings. So, and it's my response to it. And I control how the paradigm I put around this. But what I see it now is repetition. This is another repetition from which I will overcome and draw on when future calamity strikes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For like someone that maybe, you know, maybe they're at a point where they have hit that proverbial rock bottom, right? And they feel like all hope is lost. How would you suggest that they start to actually channel some self-belief, right? And actually start trying to move that needle forward? Because I feel like a lot of people, they might hit that point and they would immediately resort to like safety. Okay, what can I do around me that's going to like allow me to survive? Like maybe they go to a part-time job. Maybe they immediately say, hey, you know what? Screw this. I'm not doing this anymore at all. They switch careers. If someone was like at a point where shit hit the fan, for basic terminology, what would you suggest that they do?
Well, I mean, you have to ask yourself like what you really want and why. Yep. Right? Because there has to be a desire there. There has to be a vision of something that you really want, because for a lot of people, if you just like lack the clarity on like where you're going and why, any little thing can happen that'll like trip you up, and there's not going to be any like standards you've set or rumble strips that you've set on your journey to prevent you from like veering off. So that's like, that's thing number one. And then, I mean, obviously getting more context on this would be great, instead of like obviously like hypothetical, but say hypothetically, one of the reasons that they decided to quit is because they weren't yet getting the result that they wanted, even though they felt like they were putting the work in, right? And they're like, well, what if I keep putting the work in and I don't get the result? It's like, well, okay, but what's the one surefire way to not get the result, which is the thing that you actually fear the most? It's to stop trying.
Yeah.
So sometimes that reframe, it's like, so you're just, because of that chance of that you're going to get this like outcome that's undesirable, it's like you're just going to sabotage it and guarantee that that's the only result you get by not trying in the first place. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. We have so many examples of that in the books too, that of anyone that's been successful. It says like, look, it, Like this self-doubt is going to come in, but until you have that direction and you've failed more times than you can count, you won't know these things, you know? And that lack of action is the worst decision possible.
Absolutely. And another thing, I'll make a few points on this because, again, hypotheticals, there's a few different directions that this can go. But some of my favorite points that I've made are like, you have to act like the person who already has the thing if you want to achieve those things and be the person that attracts those things. Because I'm like a firm believer that you don't just create your success, you attract your success by becoming the type of person that those things, like those good things happen to them, right? And they get those types of outcomes. And I mean, of course, still requires action. But the example that I like to use is like, imagine I, you know, wrote you guys a $10 million check, just like a money order. And I'm like, here you go, because you guys got me on your podcast and this led to XYZ things that led me to be wildly successful and I appreciate it. So here's this $10 million money order. You're like, oh my God, thank you so much, Zach. This is great. You take it to the bank. Bank's like, holy shit, like, good job. Someone gave you $10 million. That's amazing. However, there's going to be a 14-day hold on this $10 million money order because we got to make sure it's like not like fraudulent. You're not like threatening this man's life to give for them to give you this money, that type of stuff, right? But how are you going to act those next 14 days? You're going to act like you're $10 million richer. You're going to be making plans for your life, for your family, for maybe the house that you want to buy, the car you want to get, the impact you want to have. Because in your mind, it's already there, even though it's technically not there yet, right? So there's that same ideology around like, we almost have to act like once we get really clear on where we're trying to go, the vision that we have for our lives, the impact that we want to have, we have to act like it's like that $10 million money order that's coming in the next like 14 days, even though we don't know the how and the when yet for sure. But you have to have that level of certainty that it's there, it exists, and we just need to act like that's already happening, because then we are going to take action like that person. And then therefore we're going to attract those outcomes like said person. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the biggest thing, like you kind of alluded to earlier too, is like not having clarity on your why. And I think that's probably like the first thing for a lot of these people is they don't really know like where they're actually going. And like you've talked about it in other calls too, but like having a good visualization of like their North Star and knowing exactly like where they're wanting to go. Because for you to have a clear path of where you're going, you have to actually know where like your target destination actually is. And that's why I think it's so important to like actually, as what I'm realizing too, even on like my own journey and process, is like regularly get clarity on that, write it out, you know, visualize it. For you to actually like want to like get there, and to actually get there, you have to think about, okay, well, what do I have to do alignment wise? Like, are my daily actions actually getting me to where I want to be? And that ties into what you said too about like, is this person actually doing X, Y, Z, or are they like lacking in clarity on like where they're going? Because often I feel like that's a big thing for a lot of people, is they just like, they don't know where they're going, but they have this pipe dream of like wanting to accomplish something. But It's like, well, how do you actually tangibly work towards getting there? That's the thing.
Yeah. You still got to set smart goals, right? Like some people like don't dream very big. Other people dream really, really big. And then, yeah, have no actual plan of action or standards to get there, right? And it's kind of the idea of like, I mean, who doesn't want to be a millionaire? I mean, maybe some crazy people out there that have really negative beliefs around money, sure. But then at that point, it's like, well, just be the good person with money then. Like, that's how we break that stigma. But it's like so many people want to be millionaires, but so few people actually get there, right? It's because they don't have that actual plan. They don't have that's what it comes down to. They don't have the daily standards. They don't know what skills they need. They don't have the roadmap laid out. And then, of course, like when you veer off plan, like so many people do, because everything in life, like this place called Silicon Valley, for sure, right? Down in the States, where it's their primary job is to steal your attention, right? Like the world that's been created right now is trying to pull you in every single direction. So if you don't have those standards, you know, the smart goal of how you're actually going to get there, the standards day to day of what you need to do to like break it down, to show up every single day, to move the needle in the right direction. And then Those rumble strips, those triggers to prevent you from veering to the shiny new object or the thing that distracts you or shifts your focus, that prevents you from doing the daily standards on a consistent basis. Like you gotta have those triggers to like be those rumble strips to send you back on that right highway towards your destination. So there's like so many key aspects of this. If you miss a piece of it, like,
yeah,
it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
You hit on a big thing there that took me a long time to understand. It showed up and I can tell by the way you're talking here and the things that are passionate to you that we've probably read a lot of the same books. And the one thing is that relationship to money. And I grew up in a family that there was a lot of scarcity all the time. And there was that scarcity mentality and the belief that there isn't enough for everybody and no abundance and things like that. So can I get you to speak to more of what that looks like of that relationship to money and why that's so, so important in the sense of entrepreneurship?
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, the number in your bank account is a direct reflection on your beliefs around money.
Oh, yeah.
And I have seen many different numbers at many different times in my life, and it does really reflect the power struggle between like myself and money. And like there's my money story is interesting because for the majority of my childhood, things were smooth sailing. I'm not gonna lie. I feel very like blessed, very privileged. Things were going great. Dad made good money. We got our house in Calgary. This is actually the same house that I grew up in that I'm just crashing at right now while we're waiting for a place here first. And then we had a cottage out in Manitoba as well. And it was great. And then 2008 hit. My dad worked oil and gas. And 2008, massive recession, hit oil and gas huge, lost his job, decided to switch careers that required more schooling, had to sell so much stuff. Like things became super, super tight. Parents divorced when I was a teenager, like 16 to 18. Super messy. Like dad drained like all the money that he possibly could, you know, made this process like painful and long. And it led to a lot of, I guess, different beliefs and shifts around money and like how quickly it could go, which caused me to start like hoarding a lot more and being very, very scarce and being very, very safe and not taking necessarily like, I guess, a lot of risks. And then slap me with an unplanned pregnancy. Man, very, very scared to spend money. Very scared to spend money. And I had a lot of money like going out and a lot of negative belief around that money going out and just a belief that I'll never have enough. So I caught myself like working a ton on things that I didn't necessarily love and like just to like hoard my resources, but also so much so to the point where I'd be like afraid to go out and like have a meal out. Like my daughter's mom, like back then at the time, like also very fearful around money and making like things work, which is completely understandable. Like so much so to the point where if I did say post on Instagram, I was having a burrito, mucho burrito that day, I would get like an entire book of a text message on my phone, like berating me for how dare I spend money on myself when I should be saving it for my daughter's future. Right.
Oh yeah.
So that was like a major shift of like scarcity and like being very controlled by money. And then as I became more aware of that, I almost overcorrected. So when I saw like my first $100,000 saved in my bank account and I'm like sitting on all this cash, I realized like, again, I was just hoarding. I wasn't using it. Wasn't reinvesting it. Wasn't doing the things that someone who build wealth would do to be, you know, responsible with their money and use it to grow and also take risks. But I was like, you know what? I don't like the way that money has control over me and my decisions. I'm going to start doing more things for myself. And what did that lead to? Drained my bank account, basically. That 100K can go pretty quick. And to go from like nice and like cushiony, like sitting on lots of cash to like all of a sudden nothing. It's like I had that realization where it's like, okay, like me trying to not let money have control over me has now led me to almost like not being responsible with it. So it was like a huge overcorrection, right? So, which is interesting. And I've seen this happen to a lot of people where it's like they go from one thing. So it's like the all or nothing mindset. So they go from like one extreme to like an entire like different extreme. And the reality is we want to land somewhere in the middle where we see money as a tool, something that we have to use in order to like right now. I'm like, I'm big on the buyback of your time principle, right? It's like, don't like use your money to grow your business, but rather use your money to buy back your time so you can double down on the things that like earn you the most revenue and light you up and make your life great and put you into like a production zone. Right. And build the life that you want. And again, looking at it as a tool to be able to build the life of your dreams that like aligns with your vision. Right. Cause either end of that, it's not going to be good. You'll be stuck in scarcity or you'll always be stuck in like this like overabundance, which is just, again, you just not being responsible with money and then therefore never actually being able to build significant wealth and continuing to live paycheck to paycheck, even if you have a ton of money coming in, which is a crazy concept.
Yeah. The middle way is always the way. We always come back to this. And you just described my life, basically. It's here, overcorrection. Oh, surprise, here was the way.
Yeah.
And again, so many examples and so much wisdom in books over the years that have said that exact thing, but you almost have to figure it out for yourself in that way. And we were chatting before we hopped on here about how we had some, you know, some interests in common and in the music side of things too. And another thing I guess we're having in common here is we've had some extreme highs and lows with that, in the sense of what having a safe amount of money, or what we so thought that was, being very like scarcity mindset with it and not really investing or anything, and then that being gone by overcorrecting to the other side. I just came back from that, and the wisdom gained from that is huge. So what do you tell to someone right now that's thinking about doing it, and like they are in that place of scarcity? They you know, maybe have had a comfortable life, but it's always like just a path, those couple steps past paycheck to paycheck, and they want to start changing that relationship. And what do you think is the best way that you view that? The healthiest relationship to money, in your opinion?
So in my opinion, I mean, I'm huge on mentorship. So
yeah,
if you're gonna like take the steps to really shift something, go and like messy action will get you so far, but messy action comes with a lot of trial and error and mistakes. And that's where like my overcorrections came from, was through messy action. Sometimes messy action is the answer at the beginning, but at a certain point you need to actually go and get yourself the skills, strategy, and mindset that are going to allow you to get the outcomes that you want in life. So my like biggest recommendation for that is like learn from someone who has been through it, who has made the mistakes, who understands it and has corrected, that can save you all of those headaches and give you the information that you need to know and help guide you on your journey. Like that is, I don't think I can come up with a better solution than that.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And I think like another piece to it too, just to like kind of add to that, is figuring out like where the psychological like reason with your relationship with money kind of stems from, and like trying to understand like, is it something due to like where you were raised? Is it something due to how you were brought up? Is it due to something that like drastically happened in your life where you like lost a ton of money, or you gained a ton of money, or whatever? And like understanding, like kind of like what Zach mentioned too, that like money is really a tool. Like, and we had a conversation in like one of our calls as well, but like you can make it just as fast as you can blow it. And like, again, like you mentioned in this as well, like, would you rather have like a ton of money just sitting in an account doing nothing for you? Would you rather like invested into yourself? Maybe it's mentorship, maybe it's hiring people to help you out with things, or whatever it may be. But figuring out like, as soon as you can fix your relationship with yourself and with money, I feel like that's kind of the root cause of where a lot of people's issues with the money kind of stem. And like, I can attest to that too. Like, it depends on like the people that you're around, how do they speak about money, because that definitely impacts how you yourself view money.
Your money story is that's the first step, because the first step to any form of change is creating awareness. And how do you create awareness to your relationship with money? You have to go back and you have to do that deep internal work and like figure out like what caused you to have these reactions and why. And then being able to recognize when you are falling back into like that same old pattern, that old belief. Because again, I believe like everything in your life right now is the product of your most dominant like beliefs and thoughts, and then therefore actions. So again, what was the first word I said was belief. So where did this belief come from? Right? What's the belief that I actually want to be true? So anytime I catch myself leaning into this belief, which is leading to this like thought pattern, which is leading to these actions that are undesirable, the sooner I can become aware of that, the sooner I can stop that and make a conscious decision to do something else in the face of like that old belief coming up. Because it's kind of funny how it works. Like, the beliefs lead to the thoughts, lead to the actions. But the only way we can go back and shift the belief is, we can't just necessarily go right back to the belief. You almost have to like go to like the actions, like the fake it until you make it, like do the action that you know you should be doing, even if the belief and the thought are a little bit opposite, because then it'll like trickle back to you starting to change your conscious thought. And the only way you can actually change your subconscious mind and beliefs is through like self suggestion, basically, of like changing your conscious thoughts to feed your subconscious mind. So eventually that belief becomes your new like factory setting, basically. So it's not just like this constant process of like stopping this like old belief, you know, doing this action, this like fake smile until you're real smiling type of deal, and then, you know, changing the thoughts and going back. But like, yeah, you want that to become your new hardwired like belief. So that's just the way that you are, but that takes time. because that's like why I think most people aren't successful in the majority of things in their lives. Like why can people get in great shape for like a short period of time, but struggle to maintain it forever? It's because they didn't just keep doing the things long enough to actually like shift their like hardwired belief around that thing. And until they do that, they'll always revert back to that, like that true form, that subconscious form of themselves. Those like those old beliefs, right?
Accessing that subconscious is that this can get into some more uncomfortable territory for some people, or if you're more familiar with it and it's comfortable, but that really does seem to be the key to everything. And something I'm very passionate about, and I'd probably do the most reading on, is how do we rewire our brains? You know, we learned about that it's the neuroplasticity of it all, and that the subconscious, like I'm a big fan of Dr. Joseph Campbell when it comes to all those things with the power of belief and everything. And it seems we have this little window when we first wake and when we're going to sleep that you have almost like a streamlined access to it. And that's one thing for me when I was working on channeling my self-belief from one of the many rock bottoms I've hit, is I got the wisdom. I had enough drive, enough thirst for knowledge, and really truly had a belief set that knowledge was power. That's what I had seen at that point in my life, was the people that knew these things were the people that could get out of there. And knowledge, it's everywhere. It's free. We're in a great time to access it. There's like truthfully no excuses on that. And I started to think back to almost what Bryce said, like, where did this belief come from? And then as soon as I identified that, it was uncomfortable, but getting comfortable with that discomfort was such an important piece. And I think that it was really that sitting into it, learning a little bit of how the subconscious worked, finding some passion towards it, feeling towards it, and then changing that relationship to it. And then knowing, and I think this can be more subjective, but how long is this going to take for me to form this habit? And that's something I still currently work on all the time. And I've found a lot of success in 66 days. And I find after 66 days, awesome, I have to try to not do something. And that took my own work at it to do it. And I think in, you know, for the three of us talking here and anyone listening, that is such a crucial piece that I'd love for you to attest to, like, you know, what that looked like for you and any like self-insight you had, to start, you know, whether it was accessing the subconscious or what led you to that, like down that field. You're hitting a couple topics and words here that like are very, very from the books that I read. And I just love to hear more about that.
So I guess I just want to make sure I understand your question. Yeah, like, sure, what led me down this path of like that kind of self-discovery and wanting to.
Like, you know, we talk about in like a lot of coaches, we've achieved a goal for ourselves that a lot of people are trying to achieve. And we always seem to want that next step of like, oh man, like, you know, I got, whether it was the body I want, the strength I want, all those things that come with the gym, and us just as coaches, we all seem to then want more, whether it's like a real understanding of knowledge, a real understanding of any so-and-so topic that we want to get better at, because we know we can do it. Right. So I guess, what was it that when you answered a little bit of this already, but I guess more so about just the changing of the belief and little tips and tricks for anyone listening that it would really be helpful for them.
Got you. Well, it's funny. It comes kind of back to the topic today, and it comes down to one, again, desire, like vision, desire, like what are the things that you want for yourself? Like, I think Bryce and I have talked this before, but like the big hairy ass goals that you would be scared to tell other people because they would just look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
I think you have to have like really big, big vision. And like, again, just like an obsession, like a burning desire in your belly to accomplish that thing. Because if that burning desire isn't there, if it's a weak desire, there's never going to be any reason to lean into the things that you know you need to do in order to get there. And I notice like the more clear I get on my vision and the stronger the desire becomes, those actions that I have to take just become more obvious, and there's way less friction in order for me to do them. I really like what you said about like the 66 days. I've never actually tracked what it took for me to like kind of rewire an old belief. I think that's going to be impactful though, because then obviously you have like, I talk about like the five stages of emotional change with a lot of my clients. Stage one being like uninformed optimism. Like, you now have this like goal set, you're seeing other people crush it and do it. It's like, for a lot of people, when they first get into online coaching, that's my realm. So I'll kind of tie the analogy into that. But they first get into online coaching, they see all these other people in their early 20s, making money, driving Lamborghinis, like doing these amazing things. Like, oh my God, this, like, there's so much money in this. This must be so great. So I'm going to do this. They're like, yeah. So they're uninformed on what it's going to take to get there, but they're very optimistic on them achieving said goal. Stage two, they become informed of how much work it's going to take in order to get there. Like, shit, wait, I got to post this many times a week. I got to create content. I got to be creative. I got to send messages out. I got to learn how to sell. I got to do this. I got to build out an offer. I got, and then that optimism turns into pessimism, right? Of like, oh, wow. Okay. This is hard. I don't know if I can do this. And then if they decide to keep going through that, they don't give up in that. Then you end up in stage three, which is usually the pit of despair, which is like the very worst part of like, yeah, we've all been there. Where it's like, we're just putting in the work anyways, but there's just no success on the actions that we've taken yet. But like I said, during many times where I've hit these proverbial rock bottoms in my life, that's right before I'm about to hit a nice upswing and see some wins. It's almost like the universe is testing me to see if I have the persistence and if the desire is deep enough for me to keep going to actually achieve said outcome. And if you're able to do that, that's the only thing that pulls you out of the pit of despair into stage four, which is informed optimism, because now you're informed of what it takes, but you're optimistic because you're starting to see some wins and build momentum, which then leads into stage five, which is success and fulfillment. That's like your belief has fully taken form. It's your factory setting now. It's just who you are. And you're just doing the thing and you are the person that you say you are, right? Because there's proof there.
Yeah.
So I haven't tracked how long that takes. It's going to be different for everyone, I assume. All I know is like the harder it gets, and the more I feel that I'm in the pit of despair, I now have this belief that this is what it needs to feel like before I hit that upswing and I see those wins and it's coming. It's about to happen. And that's really difficult to do. Because even like in January, end of January, like we've been traveling for a month and a half and I had very aggressive goals to scale my business this year and like double what we did the previous year. And month one wasn't great. It was slow. I was like, damn, like I haven't sold anything since I've left for this trip. Like my coaches have, thankfully, they're selling some stuff, but I haven't sold anything. And I started to have these like limiting beliefs creep in, like, oh my God, did I make a mistake? Like leaving here, like whatever, like is stuff going to be okay? Is because these tariffs and like talk of recession, is it going to impact my business? Like your brain starts to go a little bit crazy with all these like what ifs, right? But then Zoe was actually the one, my partner Zoe was the one to like snap me out of it and like reframe me and be like, hey, like, good things are coming. Like what other times in your life have you experienced this, like, again, proverbial rock bottom where you're freaking out and starting to go into scarcity mode? What happens after? And I was like, oh yeah, right. Yeah. Usually good stuff. I have to earn it. What am I not doing right now? What's been slipping with all these changes in my schedule? And then I figure out like the tactical things, like, oh, well, you know, I'm not spending as much time putting out messages and connecting with people and making, like, I haven't made any offers. Like, no shit. Why I haven't booked any calls and sold anybody. I got an offer to make an offer this to somebody. Right. But yeah, tying that back in, it's like, those are like the big five stages that you have to be aware of when you're pursuing this thing. But if your desire to reach stage five isn't strong enough, you're never going to want to go through stage two and stage three. It just won't be worth it.
Yeah. I wanted to add a couple pieces to that. You guys have both obviously read it too, and Think and Grow Rich, and they mentioned something in the book within like choosing to see your failures as stepping stones to opportunity. And like that really stuck with me because for myself, I always saw like failure as like this internal thing, right? That I failed because my attempt wasn't adequate enough or my attempt wasn't sufficient, right? So for me, there's been a big shift with like just seeing like a proverbial rock bottom or being deep in the pit of despair as that like next climb, you know, like we're at that very bottom point, but like it has to go up. But a lot of people, even myself included, like I've struggled with that too. You hit a bottom point and you're like, man, is there going to be an up point from here or a climb? And it's definitely been something that I've had to be more conscientious of, to think about more about like, okay, well, failure doesn't mean that you yourself are failing. Failure just means that you're at a point where you have tried something, it hasn't worked, and it's time to alter the approach. It doesn't mean that you can't do it. It just means that the approach that you took didn't work for you in the circumstances, mm-hmm. right? And I think another piece I wanted to add within this too is within everything here, it's like authenticity. Like if you yourself know who you are, and if you yourself are in like alignment with what you're doing, and like Zach and I've talked about that a ton, and like even I've talked about a lot with Rob too, getting clarity on like who you are. And like, this is going to require a lot of journaling, a lot of self-isolation, a lot of mindfulness practices too. Just understanding like who you are as a person, what you want to accomplish, what you want to work towards. And within that too, like you can actually channel this belief that Zach is talking about. Because if you don't have true clarity on who you are, what you want, you're trying to fill someone else's shoes constantly. And this takes place on social media, whatever you're doing, right? If you're posting, but you're constantly trying to be somebody else, or you're trying to maintain a certain image, you'll never be happy. And if you're not fulfilled, you're not going to be able to sustain that ever.
So true. And, you know, it does take, and people starting on this journey, if it's day one for you today, it's those failures are, that's a great, like, perspective is everything. And again, we create our own mental prisons, we create it all. And it does take some, you know, some understanding and some thought process to arrive at this. But I can't imagine, sitting here with three guys who probably read similar books, and we have a good outlook on this. But when you're failing at something, you're at your true, like, what do they call it in that book, The Alchemist? Like when you're on your true life path of what you truly believe you're going, each time you fail on those steps there, which everybody has done before you that you've ever like appeared to be successful, that's where you're learning everything. That's the repetitions. That's where the knowledge is coming in. When like smooth sailing is great and we deserve that, and it's just the other side of the pendulum. But I've got to a point here where when I'm it's a beautiful day today. I'll probably go skateboard later and that's awesome. But what am I going to learn? I'm going to learn from you guys today, right? Or I'm going to learn from sitting and being uncomfortable with myself. And that's the big thing I see now. And I'm getting a little off topic here, but I think it kind of still relates, is everything is a constant fight. And oh my gosh, in 2025 for our attention. And that attention is so, so crucial at what do you want? Because so many people that have talked to me, including myself, about being unsuccessful, not where they want, that I ask, well, what's your business goal? What do you want? And if you can't see that clear picture that comes from sitting, understanding, getting comfortable with yourself in true silence, and I don't mean silence of just like auditory, but true mental silence, and that, and finding the true self, it's almost impossible till that vision comes. And that really, really seemed to be a huge, huge part of the whole thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, I love that point too, Bryce, around like every failure being that stepping stone to success. Because again, you have to walk certain paths to recognize like where you need to get better or what needs to change in order for you to like get back on the path of where you're trying to go. It has to, you have to create that awareness. Yeah, and how else are you going to do it? It's like,
No,
absolutely. Rob and I did a podcast. I'm trying to think which podcast it was. It was a couple back, but we talked about like this idea of being like on a raft in the ocean, right? And like when you're on the raft in the ocean, like if there's a, let's say there's a freaking hurricane coming through, or let's say there's a bad storm coming through, like you're just trying to survive the storm, right? You're just like, am I going to actually make it to tomorrow? But then when the storm passes and you see that little bit of sunlight come across, you know, the clouds, or you smell the grass, you know, you see the calmness of the water, like there's no feeling like once the storm passes and you have that clarity and there's like there's light and there's life again, right? And that's like a good analogy for just like when you're going through the shit, right? You're in it, but like think about the outcome at the end, or think about what happens after the storm. And like the calm is always going to be something that just like pushes you to persevere. Like hold on to the raft, man. Like you'll be okay. Just even though you don't feel like you will be.
I like that. And it's almost better after, because if it was, again, if it was just say smooth sailing the entire time, like sure you'd appreciate it, but you might not appreciate it quite as much. Right? It's like after a long winter, seeing the sun for the first like time and feeling that warmth, that plus 20 day, it's almost euphoric. Yeah. But if it was 20 degrees and sunny every single day,
dude, it
wouldn't be the same.
You stole that like out of my mouth, man. Like when I lived in Southern California, which I thought like you couldn't get me farther away from Alberta, man, at this point in my life. Yeah. And I lived down there, every day was exactly the same. And that was awesome for the first few years.
Yeah.
But then I didn't have that. I didn't have anything to compare it to. And that's what brought me home, truly, is like back to Alberta, where like that this time of year in Alberta, when you get that, you know, the spring's coming back, we're starting to get you guys get it before we do up here. But just that first little bit of optimism creeps in, and I've always had success at home this time of year because of the feeling that comes behind it. And I can use that feeling of like what the universe is doing and the earth is doing to myself. And I have my own beliefs in that world there, but it's like, that's how I'll tie this belief. That's how I'll find that feeling. Cause that feeling is the huge part behind it. Right. That's going to be that motivating thing for most of us. When you were saying that, I was like, I know exactly what he's about to say. This is what I'm about to say here. It was exactly the same. Because everybody wants to know, awesome. What's it like to live in LA? Well, it's the same thing every single day. There it is.
Yeah, it truly is. And I had very much so the same experience like that. I remember like driving down Pacific Coast Highway. It rained every day for like the 2.5 weeks that it took us to like get down there. Cause you know, the PCH super windy in parts, like you're not getting anywhere fast. Like you take your time, but you're there for the experience, but it rained every day, nonstop. We were wet, like in our camper, everything wet, soaked, wake up, like damp, like, and then that first sunny day. And then eventually when we're just Southern California and it's like 30 degrees plus every single day in the desert, whatever. Yeah. It loses that.
While we're talking Southern California here, and this is what I like my role in this pod to be, is where I get a little more flavor out of us here. We were talking skateboarding before we got on here, and you say Southern California, my brain can't not stop thinking that. And this is something I found in my rediscovering skateboarding older, and I think we can really tie it in here, is seems to be an interesting thing where that sport, you're with yourself. And that's what attracted me to it as a kid when I was playing team sports. And I love hockey and all those things too, but there's something different. Now that, I mean, skateboarding's in the Olympics now, right? So it's a whole different vibe. But when you're working at a trick and it took me like 3 days all day to learn how to even get that thing off the ground back then. But when I first started, I became a young adult, and all of a sudden I became a man, and here we are, and I'm going to be turning 40 in the next couple of years here. Like, it's still that same thing. And I can take it far back to, okay, well, I need some self-belief right now. I need some self-worth. I got no momentum. I'm not feeling good. I'm like, I'll go out and I'll work on a trick until I get it. And that'll be the match that starts the fire, that starts the freaking inferno of passion or whatever direction I'm trying to go into. And I just think it's cool that I talk to a lot of people about this now, and we seem to all have that in common. I mean, we kind of grew up in a time when skateboarding was really taking off, but while I got you on this, I need three questions here. Favorite skater, trick you had on lock, and a book that everybody needs to read. It doesn't have to be about skateboarding, obviously.
Okay, cool. It's very vanilla, but it's Tony Hawk. Like, he's
gonna be Tony Hawk. Yeah, he is, man. He is. He's the GOAT, dude. Like, he is.
And his business sense too, man. Like, I put so much respect on that. Like, the video games were so influential. Like, one of my first video games is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3.
Yeah, man.
Unreal. And I've like music, played every, like, oh yeah. And it was like majorly influential on the music and my music taste and my style and like everything that like I identified myself with from like when I started like skateboarding at like 6-7 years old and played those video games up until I was a teenager. Trick that I had on lock, there's a few. Like, what's my favorite one?
I always
love the fakie big spin.
Oh, I should have known when you said Tony Hawk that was it, man. But I don't have that, or I haven't even tried it once in my life, but there's so many dudes, and I don't know what it is about Alberta on lock, it looks so sick when it goes down too.
It does.
Yeah,
and it's once you get the rotation down, it's really simple. It's a very simple trick, but it looks awesome. Crazy because you're rotating, the board's rotating a ton. It happens super quick. You can just pop it out like randomly, and it just puts you back into regular, and then you're good to go.
I'm going for it today, man. I have to now. I have to.
Yeah.
So what's the book? Someone listening right now, and they're feeling the passion, they're starting to feel some motivation. What book do they have to read?
Yeah. Well, I think just based off our conversation today, like, Think and Grow Rich. Like, that's going to be the starting one if you really want to have like a good understanding on like what it takes to like build wealth when it comes to like the self-belief side of things and like everything coming back to like desire and self-belief. And then of course there's some more actionable tactics in that book as well, but I think that's like a great baseline starting one. And then for any entrepreneur that's looking to really like grow their empire and not just grow themselves into a point where they're just like, you're the founder, the manager, the employee, like wearing like literally all the hats and like burning yourself into the ground. I love Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. That one doesn't really touch on what we talk about today, but I think that's a great book for entrepreneurs that are looking to like build a life of unlimited creation that they never need to retire from. But so I gave you two, but the number one for like mindset, like Think Grow Rich has just been the most impactful. Like keep going back to this book, and Bryce already brought it up today, but that's a great one.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. That was,
Can I just do one more? Can I just do one more book?
All books, man. Yeah. Hell yeah.
One that was really, really, really impactful for me back in 2020 was Power and Now.
Yep.
Power and Now by Eckhart Tolle. Is that his name? Eckhart Tolle?
Eckhart Tolle. Yeah.
That was probably the one that really started my deep dive into like my mind. That would probably be the one as well I'd recommend. So.
That book shows up to people, I think, at the right time. And for anyone that don't know these, Think and Grow Rich is going to take you, like, I mean, all these, like, Think and Grow Rich is an old book, and it's going to be dated in some of your things. We got to read it with an open mind. But Power of Now, that showed up to me at a time when I had no understanding of what was being talked about in that book. And then by the end of it, I felt like I was living in a completely different universe. And I have not looked back since then. Now, I don't read as much Eckhart as I used to, but there are so many within that world, and understanding what the Power of Now actually is. And my gosh, it feels like having a Swiss Army knife in my pocket that also gives me the limitless drug and allows me to truly choose my frame. And literally, it's almost like controlling reality in a sense, just to get a little wild there.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. That's why I had to drop that one as well.
Good one.
So to kind of quickly wrap this thing up, what would be some advice that you would pass along to, let's say, somebody who is getting tested, right? Let's say someone who was on an upward trajectory, they had some adversity face them, and then all of a sudden they're a little bit shook, right? What would you tell them? Maybe it's an old version of you. What would you say to Zach?
How bad do you want it? We're going to try and keep it as simple as possible.
That silence afterwards was just perfect too. Because that gives everyone listening the chance to be like, I was like, man, do I want it enough? That was conviction. Hell yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Makes you reflect. All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on today. I think this was a really good podcast, and I think there's a lot of big takeaways here for anyone just looking to really channel their self-belief. And this could be in like whatever endeavor they're trying to pursue, but I'd say specifically if you're trying to pursue coaching or if you're trying to pursue some sort of entrepreneurial journey. So thank you again for coming on. For people that want to stay up to date with you, what you do, where can they do so?
Absolutely. Instagram is the place to be. That's @Zach_Spencer. If you are in the entrepreneurial realm, in the fitness realm, looking to accomplish some big goals, I'm dropping lots of content there for you guys. YouTube's firing up soon too, but check out the Instagram. You know what? Let's go one layer deeper here. If you come over to the Instagram, what's the keyword that we should give them? You can DM me Flex Cortex, and I'm going to send you something really, really cool to help you figure out like what that vision is. And I want to teach you something called the rule of 300. I have this really great framework for the rule of 300. That'll be great for anyone that's looking to really dive deep into their vision and what they want to pursue this year. And it'll help you like break down all the steps, SMART goals, all the way down to daily standards. So that way you can kind of like set that trajectory and that roadmap for yourself. So you know, every single day you're moving in the right direction. So
that's awesome.
DM me Flex Cortex. I'll send you a good training on that.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Thanks, appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. It was great. Super nice to meet you, Rob.
Hey, we'll have to, nice to meet you, man. Yeah.
Lots of fun. We'll come out to Edmonton and we'll hang out. Yeah, for sure.
Perfect, man.